Africa is under the influence of foreigners.
Calling +27. Got a Category 4 ticket to spare?
The other side of the 2010 World Cup in South Africa.
Professor Patrick Bond of the School of Development Studies at the University of KwaZulu-Natal in Durban. He is a political economist with long-standing research interests in urban communities, and including global justice research in political economy, environment, social policy, and geopolitics. He also directs the Center for Civil Society based at the same university, that is, the University of KwaZulu-Natal in Durban.
It's really the replacement of old racial apartheid with class apartheid, a sort of deal that involved a few thousand, usually men at the top of the old Afrikaner state, the English-speaking white business crew, and the African National Congress. And they periodically opened up the tent to bring in left critics, especially in the trade unions, the Communist Party, and spread the wealth around a bit and develop ladders between the trade unions and the government. So each of the last trade union leaders before the current one has then found himself in a position of ministerial or running one of the provinces. And so these are the sorts of corporatist ties, big business, big government, big labor, that were established in the 1990s as the old apartheid regime realized, the elites there, that they'd replace their securocratic approach with an econocrat approach, as it was called then. And that meant bringing in IMF and World Bank teams to advise on new policies and getting rid of exchange controls, putting the country into a very vulnerable position. As I said, there's a huge foreign debt of $80 billion now that's been built up. And that sort of vulnerability means that paying attention to the whims of the markets for the finance minister and a few of the other economic ministers is job one. And that means basically giving them what they want, lower taxes, fewer regulations, and more liberalization. And that means when you have a World Cup, make it as comfortable as possible for the elites and for visiting tourists, and to hell with the local folks. I moved to South Africa from having studied in the US. Originally, I was born in Northern Ireland. And it was a move that allowed me to turn an interest in anti-racist and anti-corporate popular activism. And I run something called the Center for Civil Society. We certainly had the finest case in fighting apartheid of understanding the links between big business and profits and this durable racism. Once that battle was won against the sort of superficial legal features of apartheid and racism, but we found there was something much, much more durable, a long, steady process of capital accumulation that has been very obvious to anyone fighting on any of the fronts that ordinary people engage in, from labor and community, health workers and environmentalists. And I think that's the kind of window of fight against class apartheid that I've been very fortunate to have in seeing heroic battles, sometimes victorious, like getting AIDS medicines, that I think we're going to need in the fight against global apartheid. What it means to a country like South Africa to put out so much of our surplus funds this year and the last few years to build these glorious stadiums and to sort of insulate the stadiums from any social and political pressure is what the government and FIFA are hoping will happen. And you'll see the reaction from ordinary people saying, well, you know, they get a lot out of this, but when is it time for a real redistributive process, since inequality has actually worsened since the end of apartheid? Well, I'd say the biggest fear we have is the sort of police repression that South Africa has experienced from time to time. For example, in the 2002 World Summit on Sustainable Development, there were torture cases, really, associated with police handling of protests. And so if there is a call for solidarity, for people to be aware that their South African consulates are in some of the major cities in the U.S., but also that we'll probably have requests to write in and phone in to make sure that the world is watching if we have more deaths of protesters, as we've had the last couple of weeks, two deaths, and if there's police repression or even the failure to give permission to hold marches. This is the sort of democratic rights that after that long struggle against apartheid, people are not just going to give up so that some fat cats in Zurich and some big corporations advertising will have a free run of the place.
Ha-hee-yee-ha, ha-hee-yee-ha, ha-hee-yee-ha.